Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara from Beis Amud Beis. We are four lines from the bottom, third word on the line, the words of Meisi Beis. So again, we're continuing now for this little bit of the next Amud and Daf Gimel. We're going to have like five more rayas about Or being nighttime and not daytime against Rav Huna. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says now, Meisi Beis. So we have another question from the Braisa, which says, Ein Masain Masuos. We don't light the torches, except for a month, which was seen in its time. So what's going on over here? We know that in the times of Chazal, really even after, even the Korban, they would be, before Hillel was Masakan, I guess, a little bit before the Korban, but before then, they would be deciding the Jewish calendar year based on the Re'iyah. And that was before the fixed calendar. So when they did the Re'iyah, they would based on the ages that would come in and to testify that they saw the new moon. And then how would they announce it? How do you publicize it? So they used to have this torture system. The Gemara actually relates that the Tzedukim tried to ruin it, which is why they ended up sending out letters from the Beis Din HaGadol. But before then, they used to light up the torches. So this Bryce was talking about that time when they were lighting the torches to know when was Rosh Chodesh. So this Tana is of the opinion that they would only use the torches if it was declared on the 30th day. If they decided the 30th day was going to be Rosh Chodesh, that the first day of the new month was going to be then already, and it was 2 days Rosh Chodesh, in that case, they would wave the torches after the night had already come out to tell the people that the previous day, meaning the 30th, was Rosh Chodesh as well. That was to show that it was Malay, that it was Rosh Chodesh. However, Rashi points out that if Rosh Chodesh was simply the next day, the 31st, it was just going to be Aleph with no Lamed, then they would not use any Masuos, they wouldn't use any torches. Rather, the fact that you don't have the Masuos, everyone would know that the next day was simply Rosh Chodesh and there'd be Mamela, it'd be automatic. That's what Rashi says. So that's what the din over here is going on. So the Mishnah says, again, the Braisa tells us, when do they light these torches? The Or Ibaro and the Or after its day, meaning the 30th day at the beginning is called Yom HaIpor. And after that, they would light it that night. That's what Rashi tells us. So what do we see though? Clearly we're referring to nighttime, Alma or Otu, that Or is clearly referring to nighttime because they're not lighting torches in the middle of the day. They're lighting torches from mountain to mountain. The Mishnayos discuss it, that in Rosh Hashanah, about the different mountains that they used to see from all the way till Chutz La'aretz, the different mountaintops would see the torches all the way through Chutz La'aretz. So they would light it obviously at nighttime. So clearly Or is referring to Or to who? So, which is going to be night. So the Gemara says, Shmamina, you're right. This is in fact a good proof. The Gemara continues Meitzvah with another question from another Braisa. Haya Omed Kol Alayla Makrev Al Mizbeach. So if the Kohen was standing the entire night and he was dealing with the, we know that the person used to bring the Emurim at nighttime. That's why Marav is Rishus, because it wouldn't actually be a new Korban, rather they'd just be Mimamshech bringing off the Emurim, the different parts of the Korban that they have to bring. An Ola, let's say, they would have to bring the entire things. Other cases, you would only consist of the fats and the limbs, right? Different parts would be brought on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, still, La'ora Ton Kiddush Olam Raglayim, that in the morning you would still need to wash his hands and feet because it's a new day. Different Rebbe, that was the words of opinion of Rebbe. The Gemara in Zvachim discusses this. This is also might not be gear for davening Shacharis. If you stay up all night, that's a whole Shaila. But washing Tiyas Adayim is a new day because the Gemara learns that from Agasha that you come close to Hashem, you need a new Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that might parallel itself into Tefillah. Lamaisa, that's a Shaila. Why we wash our hands in the time is a whole other Machlokas Rishon. We're not going to get to that so much right now. But either way, we see that La'ura over here, though, seems to mean the opposite. It seems to mean that it's a morning. This is against Rav Yehuda. The Or means the nighttime, not the daytime. Here it sounds like Ora sounds like it is daytime. Again, in Ora, in the morning, he needs a new washing his hands and feet. That's what Rebbe says. So the Gemara answers, no, Ora shiny. The word Ora, which is used in the Braisa, Ora is different than the Lashon of Or. Ora is different than the Lashon of Or. Or means, we can say nighttime. Ora is going to mean day. That's what we're saying, that there's two different Lashonos, and that's why they mean two different things. Okay, the Gemara continues, Meitzivim Marzuchim. Marzuchim had a question from the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Krisus tells us, a little bit complicated, we'll try to give a background. Amapelas Or Lashmonim Ve'echad. Okay, so we know that a woman is chayav to bring a korban after she gives birth. So after the woman gives birth, a woman is chayav to bring a korban. And so the Gemara learns out that you could have said that she's going to bring many korbanos, even if she has many kids. She has many kids, one after the other, so she could bring one korban for all of them. So the Gemara says that when she learns out that she bring one korban for many different children, that is only going to be within the period of Amalos. The Gemara is learning out of Amalos, which is a time that she would be still Tahor. So what is this time of Tahor and Tumah? So if a woman gives birth to a girl, let's say, so the Torah tells you that for 14 days, that's Shvayim, the commitment, she's going to be Tameh, and then 66 days, she is going to be Tahor, that all the blood that she sees is not Tamnida, she's allowed to be with her husband, even if she sees blood. Lamaisa, we do not hold like that nowadays. We are choshish for all blood that she'll see afterwards because of Gzera Darabanan. We're afraid people get confused. The Lamaisa, that is the Din Minat Torah, though. Everyone agrees that's the Din Minat Torah. And for a boy, if he gives birth after 7 days, she's going to be fully Anida. And after 7 days, all blood she sees is going to be Tahor blood as well. That's why the whole idea is that in the eighth day should be able to go to the bris. Okay, the nice idea that's brought down. But either way, what do we see? That only during that time period, if she has a miscarriage within that time period, the Gemara learns out only within those 66 days, let's say for a girl, then she does not have to bring another korban. So the Gemara is asking, what if she has a miscarriage on the night of the 81st night after she gave birth? So the next day she would be chayav to bring a korban. It's already after her zman of tuma. The blood that she'll see is dam, is considered full-fledged dam nida, but she wasn't able to bring her korbanas yet. So Beit Shammai says she does not have to bring another korban, and Beit Hillel says she does have to bring another korban. So the Gemara, as Gemara relates over there, Amar lan Beit Shammai, and again, for our purposes, I'm a pelas or. We see that it is the night of the 81st, which is why we're going to ask this. But either way, the Gemara continues and quotes what the shakta vitari was between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The Gemara says, according to you, what's the difference between the night of the 81st day, as opposed to the daytime of the 81st day? At the end of the day, shouldn't it be equivalent that the daytime is going to be the same as the nighttime? Meaning that you're going to agree to me that all blood that you see the night of the 81st is not tahor blood anymore, right? Right. So she's 66 days. She's tamer. That's already the 67th night. She is now considered tame. So why would it be that she does not have to bring a new korban? So Rashi actually fills in what was Beit Shammai's response. The Brisa here does not mention it, but the Gemara in Krisus tells us that Beit Shammai responded no, because she never had a shah where she could bring the korban yet. She couldn't bring the korban by nighttime. Only the next morning she could bring a korban. So fundamentally, there's a difference between this night, the night of the 81st, and the night of the 82nd. The night of the 82nd, even though it's not as man that she could bring a korban, but she could have brought the korban that day, the day before. So since she was at a shah, she had a time where she could bring the korban, that is why she is considered someone who had brought the korban as a new melos, and she would have to bring another korban at that point. But if it was only the night before, Beit Shammai thinks that he wouldn't. So this din is very interesting. Rav Shach likes to quote an Eretz Tzvi as a piece about this a little bit about in Gemara Yevamos, different applications of this halacha that Beis Hillel holds, that even when something is not, the day is roi, but you're not physically roi to do it yet, that's considered as if it is... And as if it's considered brought. That's what we see from this halacha. There's another halacha that comes out of the Gemara in Yevamos. So it talks about, let's say the halacha is an arel, is not allowed to have truma. It's not even allowed to, so one of the things you're not allowed to do with oil of truma, let's say, is dusicha. So if a kohen has olive oil, has oil, he is not allowed to only for a kohen can he do sicha, because he's sicha kishtia. He's only a kohen allowed to do that. So now what happens if the kohen is before the eighth day? So he's a baby boy kohen, and can you use oil to rub him? So the first 7 days, the Gemara doesn't seem to have a problem because you didn't have it. What about the eighth day? That's the shaila in the Gemara, that the night of the eighth day, the Yerushalmi is nifshat the shaila. The Yerushalmi says the night of the eighth day, he's already considered an arel. What do you mean? You can't do the bris mila at nighttime. What do we see? We see a similar idea that the night before is already considered the part of the day, even though he can't actually physically do anything. He can't do the bris mila. Bris mila is only kasher by yom. Still, we still call him an arel. That's why I think Rav Azar said that this is an idea. Maybe this is a concept where the vachnach comes from. That really the night before the baby is considered an arel. That's why the baby might need an extra shmirah because he's an arel right now. Even though really only the next morning he's going to be allowed to do the mila, but still he's considered arel from the night before. We see on the Yerushalmi. So that's why maybe the idea of the vachnach, the minhag came to have extra shmirah on the baby and learn all night and say different kabbalat olam and say amalach by the baby the night before the bris. Okay, continue. Gemara says we get to Amar Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Either way, what do we see from this mishnah? What's the difference between the or, the 81st night by nighttime, and yom and the day? Clearly, or is referring to Shmamina, or to Shmamina. That's a good proof that really or is a reference to nighttime in this Mishnah as well. Okay. So then the Gemara continues another kasha on Rav Huna. The Gemara says, Mesivi, another brisa, which says, Yachliya Nechel or Lashlishi. You could have thought that a shlamim is going to be allowed to be eaten the night of the third day. We know that the pasuk says, "Bayom ziv chachem ye'achel mimachras v'nosar yom ha'shlishi ba'etzi saref." That the day you bring the korban, it should be in on the next day. Whatever remains on the third day is going to be burned in the fire. So this can understood that a shlamim is allowed to be in on the day that you bring the korban and the next day also. But the Torah doesn't specifically tell you what about that next night. Maybe you'd have two nights, not one night and 2 days. Maybe you'd have 2 days and two nights, and then the next morning it'd be pasul. So the Gemara says maybe that's the case. V'dinu, and then actually you'd have a kavachomer, a logical argument to argue for this. What would you say? Zvachem nachem liyom echad. We know that a korban, Rashi says, example of Toda, which is only allowed to be in that day and that night. And the Shlomen also is going to be in for 2 days. So what do we see? What do we see by the Lacha, by a Toda? When do you bring the Toda? By daytime. So you have that day and that night afterwards. The night follows the day. Then you're allowed 1 day and one night. So then, so to over here, the night should follow the day and should be allowed the day you bring it, the night you should bring it, the next day, and as well as that next night. Talmud Lomar, so the Gemara says, we have a pasuk which says, Biyom ziv chachem yelechem machas v'nosar yom. That the dafka by yom, only the day you can eat it, And what you meant the next day, be'od yom nechal, only shlomei eaten by daytime, meaning the second day you can eat it, or so you're not eat it that second night, they're ready the next night, the next third day, that is going to be pasul, that's going to make it no sar, that's going to be isser to eat it, it's no longer kosher. So the Gemara says, but, so yachal yisar f'mayad, so they might have been taught that, the leftover shlomim should be burned right away, meaning that night at tseis ha-kochavim, right again, you get that day, that night, the next day. So then at tseis ha-kochavim, that next night, it's now gonna be no sar, it's gonna be, leftover, so you have to burn it right away. Dino, we know that the offerings are eaten for one day and one night, and also the shlam is also offered for 2 days and one night. So we know the halacha by a toda, let's say, if you leave it over, you have to immediately burn it right when it's at the purpose, when it's now nosar, so meaning that day, the next night, all night long, so then the next morning, you have to burn it right away in the morning. So too over here, afkan, tekef la'achila sreifa, so too over here, with regards to shlamim, you'd have to burn it immediately following the next night, meaning the tzeis. So the Gemara says, "Tamalomar benosim baser zevach biyom shlishi b'seisrif." Specifically, says the third day. So the third day means the next day, the next morning. You should do it biyom atasorah viatasorah b'leila. We do not burn the nosar. We don't burn nosar at nighttime. Only by daytime, and that's going to be halacha by all korbanos. All korbanos we burn it by day and not by nighttime. So then the Gemara says, what, for the purposes that we were trying to bring the proof for. In this case, yeh nechal or the shlishi, it would have been thought that a shlomim should be brought the night of the third day. What do we see? Alma, we see or is or tohu. We see that or is dafka reference to nighttime. Shmamina, we can learn from this, that is in fact correct, that or is reference to nighttime. That is a good proof. Now the Gemara continues, Tashma, we learn from the Braisa. Or shel Yom HaKippurim Shpala Sheva Zbada. Another Raya I want to bring. That the night of the Yom HaKippurim, or the night of Kippurim, someone davens Sheva. We know that all Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say seven brachas in our Shmona Esrei. The first three and the last we always keep. For every single Shmona Esrei, without fail, we'll say the first three Avos, Gevuros, and Kel HaKadosh. And then we'll say the last three of Modim and Valkulam, right? And then Sim Shalom. We'll say those three always, Modim, Valkulam, and Sim Shalom. So those three, and those three we keep always. And then the middle bracha will be for Yom Tov or Shabbos. Whatever we're discussing, that is special halacha for Shabbos and Yom Tov. They daven seven. So the Gemara says now, by nighttime you do vidui also. That's what's extra in Yom Kippur. You're going to say vidui in the Shmona Esrei. Shachris mispal shavim masvana. And Shachris also, you do vidui, you do confession during the Shmona Esrei. But Musaf mispal shavim masvada. And Musaf also, you daven seven times, and you say seven brachas, and you also do the vidui, the confession. B'mincha, b'mispal shavim masvada. And also by mincha time, also you do the confession as well. But arvis mitbal mishmon esrei. This is interesting. This day on the Tanaim holds that by Mars, since it's so person is very weak from fasting, as she points out. So then you'll do a me'in shmon esrei. We learned what that was in bracha in brachos. The Gemara told us that's havininu, which was a summary of all the next. We do the first three and middle, first three and last three. Then havininu is the shortened text of all the middle brachas, all the whatever the 12 brachas in the middle. We're going to shorten that into one abridged bracha. So that is the opinion of the one Tanaim and Rabbi. And we see from here how chashuv it is that a person has to be careful about the people who are fasting. I know Meister Shai, I know sort of Nevin Saul Davin, and we was Davin Yilad Davin with him. So then he has yurts, I think, for his uncle. And if there's no other chiyuv, so he'll Davin for the Amud on Marav of Yom Kippur when Rav Nevin Saul Davin's. In a minion, he's usually the last one to finish when he's davening by himself. He tells him not to wait for him, he's usually the last one to finish. When he davens on Motzi Yom Kippur, he's by far the first one to finish, and he finishes and he starts Kaddish right as soon as he gets the minion, because he wants to make sure that they finish exactly at the Zman, that nobody who's not feeling well will have to wait even one more minute than the Zman of the Luach in Eretz Yisrael. That is because, again, he's choshesh for people not feeling well. That's a very big sitkus also in his Avas Yisrael. Otherwise, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Chanina Gamliel, Mayim Shem Avosar, Spalash Manasar, Shlemos, Mesh Tarak Lamar Avdel Bechananas. As we paskin, we don't say to maybe the disliking of many people that we don't say the main Shmona Esrei. Although our Shmona Esrei, our regular Shmona Esreis are longer than their main Shmona Esrei would have been. But either way, we don't paskin on that because we have to say in Atachonin, we have to say the special Havdalah, which you don't have the opportunity to do that in the shortened bracha. Okay, there's a shortened over there. The Rash Pass, why not? Okay, but Lamaisa, we hold you're not allowed to do that in the shortened version. So that's how we hold Amma Or. So, but the purpose of we're bringing this whole Gemara was what do we see that Or is Or to who? We see from here. That or is referring to nighttime. Shmamina, that in fact is a good proof. Okay, now the Gemara wants to again reject Rav Huna. The Gemara says, Tashma, the Tani Devei Shmuel, we learn in the Shmuel, Lele, a complete parallel to our Mishnah, here it explicitly says, Lele Rabbasar Bon Kasam Rasaner, that clearly the night of the 14th, we search for Chametz by the light of the candle. We know obviously how important the candle is to use. Okay, for different things, Kabbalah to use the candle. Alma or is ortu, so we see that or is reference to nighttime. That's what we see from here. So now the Gemara says, bringing all these proofs, the Gemara says it can't possibly be that Rav Huna held that or is reference to daytime. Rather, Ela Bein Ravuna Bein Ravuda, everyone must be declaring my Oror. So in the Mishnah, everyone must agree that Oror is reference to nighttime in Mishnayos. But Pligi, and they're not disagreeing. Mar Kiasre. That Ravuna was talking in his way, and Rav Yehuda was using Lashon. They both meant the night before. Be'asre de Ravuna Karanigi, that by the Lashon of Ravuna, they called it light, like Lashon Sagi Naor, right? The euphemism that we mentioned before in the Rabbeinu David. This works very well with the Avamina Maskana Rabbeinu David. The Gemara first mentioned as a Kal Saka Daitach. Maybe Ravuna is suggesting that it really means the daytime, because we're ending up rejecting it. Ravuna does not mean it means the daytime. That's the final Maskana over here. It clearly means the night before. And it's Lashon Sagi Naor. It's a euphemism that, like, just like a person, we speak Lashon Akiyah, we're gonna see. So too, we use the nice Lashon. Uvasid Rav Yehuda kar lele. Whereas Lashon Rav Yehuda, they call it nighttime. So Gemara says, Vitana didan my time alakana lele. By the end of the day, why don't you just use the Lashon of nighttime? What's the problem? So the Gemara says, Lishna Malya Dunaka. The Tana wants to use very clean, nice language. Not sort of Laila, which is a reference of Choshech, of nighttime, of scariness, of bad things. We started off with a little nicer Lashon of Or to keep your Lashon nice. It's a beautiful vort in the name of the, I think it was the Chiddush Arim, one of the Ger Rebbes, that he said, Dafka, the Gemara mentions this over here, Lishna Malya Nakat, because we know Pesach is such a big thing up in Chassidus, to have your mouth closed with only Divrei Torah, only good things should be in your mouth. And we know Paro is the Lashon of Pera, but that's the same table. It says Pera is bad mouth. That a person is to speak with a refined Lashon, a nice Lashon, Dafkam Sekhs Pesachim, we're starting off with a beautiful Lashon, with a refined Lashon. So the Gemara continues. Now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, that this also will go with Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, as he taught us in a different context. Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, Lolam El Yotzi Adam, Davar Maguna Vepiva. A person should never say something which is Davar Maguna, is not befitting for him, not a cleanest lashon. It's not lashon of nivil peh. Nivil peh is with Gemara Ksubas, I think, maybe also with Gemara Shabbos. Remember that also that a person Gemara says over there that a person's gzera for shivim shana is going to be really bad for him. This is even a less thing. It's like a less refined way of speaking. It was cleaner lashon. A person always speak in a cleaner lashon. Sharei ikam akosuv shmona osias, because the pasuk when out of its lay by adding 8 letters to the Torah below it's never good of him. It didn't speak something. It's not the nicest lashon. Shenemar, as we see, the pasuk says mina behima Torah mina behima asher inena tohora. The pasuk says by Noach that he took the animals that are Torah and the animals which are not Torah. Why don't say Asher Tameh or Ha Tameh, Asher Tameh? So why did Lashon of Asher Inin Torah, which is going to be, 13 letters, and then you have, as opposed to Hatmeh, which is 5 letters, so here we have an extra 8 letters added to the Torah. Again, Asher Inin Torah is 13 letters, Hatmeh has 5 letters, so then you have extra 8 letters. So the Gemara says that what do we see? They added 8 letters to show us that you should speak in a nice Lashon, to teach us this lesson. Rav Papa Parsha, no, there's another Lashon, Teisha, there's 9 letters in a different Pasuk, Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Ki yeh ben ish asher lo tahor mikra lai, the person who has a Siman al-Meshin over here is talking about, and the Pasuk says, Asher lo yeh tahor mikra lai, there's a person who is not yet tahor, it was not tahor, into the nighttime. So the Gemara says, we see from here that Asher Lo Yet Tahor is going to be 12 or 13, whatever it is, and as opposed to just Asher Tameh, which is going to be 3. So then that's going to be 9. So Ravina just adds Amar Eser, because the Vav de Tahor is Malay, is with the Lashon of Vav, you'll get to the number of 13 again. So Asher Lo Yet Tahor is going to be either 12 letters, or if you have a Vav, they'll have 13 letters, then you minus the, subtract the 3, which is Tameh, which is how it should have been written, then it'll come to either 10 or, to 12, ten or 9 letters. The Gemara continues. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, he says sheish, right? It's going to be 16 extra letters added to the Torah. Shenemar, the pasuk says, ki amar mikrehu bilti tahorahu ki lo tahor. Because something has happened, he is tahor, he's not clean. This is a reference to Machar Chodesh we laid over there. So this pasuk is reference to, again, it says something happened to him. He's not tahor, he's not cleaned yet. So the Gemara says, what exactly is going on? What's the extra words over here? It would have just said if it's mikra tamehu. If it's mikra something happened, it's tamehu and it's tamehu. Adding the pasuk of bilti tar ki lo tahor is an extra 19 letters. Subtraction of the 6, you'll get to the number of sheishes. Right. If you had more than that, so I'm wrong. So if you have an extra 16 letters beyond Asher Lo Tahor, which is the 19 letters rather before, and then you'll get to the number 16 of Tameh, from 19 to Davin Ister is going to be 16. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. We learn in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. La Olam Yisaper Adam Lashon Akia. A person always speak in a clean language, a nice language, a refined language. Sharei Bezav Karam Merkav. By a Zav we call it writing. Lashon of Merkav. We know that a Zav is someone who has a greenish thing come out of his body, that by a male, by a female, it's blood outside of her cycles. So then they become tamei. Anything that they sit on is going to be a moshav, and anything that could be ridden on is going to be a merkav. There might be a few different lachas. Tosafot point that out over here. But either way, we see there's merisha merkav, and anything they sit on becomes an avatuma. One of the exceptions. Usually an avatuma can only make a rishal tuma here. If they sit on it, it becomes an avatuma as well. So we say that it's called merkav, that riding it, v'isha karma moshav, whereas by a woman, it is reference to a sitting down on it. The woman does not mention riding, rather just it calls it sinning, because a woman, it's not appropriate for her to mention riding in the context of a woman. The Omer, the Brisa quote, Tumar says that you should speak Lashon Nekiyah, but Tifcha Lashon Arumim, and also say you've chosen the language of the wise. The Omer, Vedastiv, say Bara Melele, it also says that lips expressed refined knowledge. My, the Omer, so why does the Brisa mean to mention Tumar Psukim? Chitim, Ahanam, but the Brisa, maybe only in the Torah you have to speak in a clean Lashon, in an extra refined Lashon of the Rabbanan. Lo, but maybe in just in things of Tanakh, you don't even necessarily mention it. So therefore, the Gemara says, Tashma, the Omer, Vatifcha Lashon Arumim, that you shall choose language of the wise. It applies even the Rabbanan, when they're speaking, they should also be careful to use refined language. Maybe this is only when they're banan are talking in shiurim, whatever. Mila dama lo, but you're just stam, you're having a conversation with a friend, you don't need to have a refined, clean lashon, and not speak in bad lashonos. The lips are expressing the things that are refined. Refined knowledge implies that the language should be refined in all contexts, in all aspects that a person is speaking, everything should be refined. So the Gemara says, v'isha loksiv merkav, but is it really true that a woman doesn't say by writing? Yes, it does. V'aksiv v'atakam rivka, we just had this a few weeks ago. Rivka v'narseva d'kavna alag malim, parshas chayesara. We just said that Rivka, she can't, and she wrote on the animals. So she wrote on them. So the Gemara says, no, because normally a woman who is supposed to be sitting, it's more tanua for them to sit with their two legs facing the side of the saddle. In order, that's more appropriate. So however, in the case we're over here, Hasam Mishum Bisusa Digmalim, there was a fear of being on top of the kennel. Orchu, that is the normal way to ride. That's the tanua way to ride. Where she's not afraid of anything, then she could sit with her two legs facing the side. Where it's not going too fast, that's the more tanua way for a woman to sit on a camel. V'aksi v'ikav Moshe Ishav Esmana V'aykivei Malachamor. Over there, Lashon again, that they were riding on the donkey. Hasam, the Gemara answers, turning on the next time, Mishum Banav Orchihu, that because of his children, that was the way they rode. Therefore, as some explain, that riding was only referenced to Dafka's children and not to to Yocheved, his wife. So the Gemara continues, Ve'aksiv, but it says in the Pasuk also, either Vahayahi or Vahayahi, Rochevis al-Achamor, in that she was, this reference to Abigail, Pasuk and Shmuel, Abigail was riding down to go beg David not to give Nadal her punishment for, I think she cursed out David, so she was riding on the Chamor, it says over there. So the Gemara says also, Hasa Mishum Beisusa Delilah, she was very afraid, it was nighttime, she was scared, Orchu, that is the derech that you go when you're afraid. Again, it's more secure to ride, obviously, with one leg on each side, not two legs facing the outside of the animal. So the Gemara continues, V'ibais ima, or you could say, Mishum Bisusa Delelia Leika, rather you could say there's no fear of nighttime, rather Mishum Bisusa De Davidika, there was a fear of David HaMelech, which was causing them to because she was afraid, she had to speak to the king, that's why she was afraid, so that's why she wrote like that. V'ibais ima, Bisusa David HaMelech, Mishum Bisusa Dehariika, no, but she was riding on a mountain. Riding down a mountain, obviously, it was scary, it was a steep mountain, so then she would ride on two legs and one on each side, that's the Lashon of Vayirkav. Okay, and now the Gemara continues, Gemara says, where I saw me look Steve. Tell me, but wait a second. At the end of the day, the Torah mentions Tame all the time. So the Gemara says, Ella, so what are we answering? Ella Kolecha, Dechi Adade Ninu. Wherever there are going to be equal, Mishtai Belash and Nekiah, then the Pasuk is going to use more refined language. However, Kolecha, the Nefisha Mile, where it's going to be longer and extend the Psukim, so then, except for these cases we mentioned before, Mishtai Belash and Ketara, that the Pasuk is going to use a more concise Lashon, as Rashi points out. That we mentioned before, that when you're extending them, that is gufa to teach you this halacha that you should try to speak whenever you can in a refined language. However, Shara Mekomos Rashi points out ksiv lashon meguna vekatzam nechashiyishne adam latamina lashon ketzara. Another halacha that's very important that a rebbe should always teach his talmid in the most concise, clear lashon, because it's, you don't want to complicate things, makes it too long. He give a quick, concise halacha so people are able to understand it better. So the Gemara continues, Ravuna Marav, Amrle Ravuna Marav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Olam Mishnah Adam Zminuk Derech Ketzara. Person always teaches talmid in a student in a concise manner, so he understands it better. Concise, short, brief understanding. The Mar says, "Kolecha d'chiyadadi ninu mishtayv lashon kavod." It's really true that where it's more respectable, that's what you'll use. Lashon v'aro cheves v'yosheves d'chiyadadi ninu. Become aro cheves. At the end of the day, rocheves, writing, and yosheves are equal lashonos. And the pasuk still said, when it comes to Abigail, before going back to Abigail, it said that she was writing. So why don't she yosheves? Which is, so the Gemara says, because it's the same amount of letters, Rocheves, Ksiv, Rocheves, without a Vav, Rocheves, without the Vav, Chaser, Vav, therefore it is actually shorter. So therefore they had to use the Lashon of Rocheves. Rashi points out, Yosheves could also be written without a Vav. There's a Vav there, you can make it a Chaser as well. So what at the end of the day is the difference? That's a shayla. We're seeing from Mira. She says that it's more chashiv to use a derech tzara than that's teaching you the gufa this chiddush. That derech tzara is more chashiv than a refined lashon. That's what we learn from this pasuk. Now the Gemara just relates different stories which relate to this idea. Hanu trei tamid avi yasvi kamei derav. There was two people sitting before Rav. Chad amar this sugya was so hard. Shavitza nai shmaita the kedvar acher mesakna. This thing is that makes me tired. There's such a hard sugya like a davar acher. Davar acher, even though he's using lashon sonny goy, it was reference to a pig. What he shouldn't be using that in his mouth. That's not a nice way to speak. Like a goat. So the second one is complaining also, but using a nice lashon of a goat, not a pig, to say Chas v'Shalom. Even though lashon sounded nari, Rav was unhappy. He didn't speak to the first Talmud. So the Gemara continues. Hanu trei tamid davi yasvi kamei de Hillel. There was two students who were sitting before Hillel. V'chad minayu Rabbi Yochanan Mezaka. One of them was a famous Rabbi Yochanan Mezaka. V'amr lei kamei de Rabbi. And others say the two students were sitting before Rabbi. V'chad minayu Rabbi Yochanan. One of them was Rabbi Yochanan sitting before Rabbi. We know Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, the first generation of Moraim. So either way, had the story happen. Chadamar nima botshim betar vein moskim betar. Why do we harvest grapes? Yeah, we're always going to use the lashon of boats when it comes to harvesting grapes, and moskin is the lashon of harvesting olives. It's always we're going to use the lashon of moskin in the Mishnayos. So now, at the end of the day, they were asking a question when grapes are harvested. Just we know that the Shiva Samashkim can make something become tame. So we write the Yad Shach Adam, when you have all of the things, like if you have bees honey, you have olives, you have milk, do right, all those Shiva Samashkim, they can make something become tame. So to prevent this, the halacha is that one has to use tar kalim. So when it comes to olives though, you don't have to use tar kalim. So the Tana was asking, either Rabbi Yochanan Mezaka was asking Hillel or Rabbi Yochanan was asking Rebbe, why is that the case that we don't have to do it by olives? So why do we harvest grapes? Moskim betuma, yet we harvest olives with tuma, with tame kalim. So Amar Muftachan Bazes. So and the answer is, by the way, that when it comes to olives, is that the thing that oozing out is Zeba Alma, as opposed to grapes, that's real halakhically status of wine, it's the status of good things that are coming out. So therefore you are choshish for the Shiva Samashkim. When it comes to olives, just oozing out is Zeah, it's not considered stuff that's real part of the olive. That's the answer. The Gemara doesn't mention that, but that's the answer. So Gemara now says Amar, either it was Hillel or Rebbe saying Muftachan Bazes, Shemura Bazel, it's gonna be a big gadol and Tam and Chacham. The Gra quotes remnants for this. The Pasuk says, Ulahoros is Bnei Israel. So that Lahoros over there is someone who is Lahavdil Min HaTamei Torah, speaks in a refined lashon, then he's going to be Lahoros. He's going to be someone Derech Remez. That's what the Pasuk was referring to. He'll be a big Talmud Chacham. He'll be able to be a big Posik. And it was obviously, we know Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh, and both Rabbi Yochanan were the Gedolim of their time. The Gemara continues, Hanet Lasa Kahane. There was three Kohanim. Once that I had the size of a bean that I ate, that's all I got from the lechem panim. The kohanim had to eat the lechem, the bread that remained on the shulchan from the Shabbos to Shabbos. They would eat it amongst the kohanim. So he said, all I got was a bean size. We see Agav some point out that maybe you don't need a real achila by kachim. Maybe just a little bit, a morsel is enough to be mekayim in the midst of achila by zvachim, mashayinkin, by every other achila we know in the Torah. You do need an achila of kezayis. Either way, one said that a size of an olive got to me. I got such a disgusting piece, like a lizard's tail, tiny. So the Gemara says, "Badku achar." We speak such a not refined language. So then they investigated him, and Matsu Boshevet's Pasul. They actually found that he married his father or grandfather. Someone married a chalal, married a grusha, which made him a chalal, a pasul avoda. And they discovered this based on his non refined lashon. So Gemara says, "Vatnan." But wait a second, the Mishnah tells us, "Ein bodkim is ve'ach lamala." If a person does avoda in the base of Megdash, you don't have to check after him. We know that he has a good yichus because it was never been a million years that the Kohanim would allow someone without a good yichus, who they checked into very carefully, to being doing the avoda on in the base of Megdash. So Gemara answers, "Lo sema shemetz pasul ela ema shachetz pasul." Don't say that he had a disqualifying halachically from his yichus, from his genealogy, rather shachat pasul, that he was shachat, that he was haughtiness, and meaning that he was someone Rashi points out, he became like a kofar, but these dinim of the to accept these dinim, and he was being disqualified mitzad the fact that he didn't agree that this halacha that he should get less, and that's like a kofar bedini korbanos, and therefore he's pasul mitzad his own actions. Or he could say shani asim do it the ara nasha, he did it on himself. He's speaking in such an unrefined language, saying, wait a second, how could this be that this guy's a kohen? Can't be a must have a bad yichus. And we're in condition relates, if a family is, we know, always fighting and crazy families are always angry and really bad midos, then you have to look after the yichus. Maybe there's a shtickle mamzerah somewhere along the line. That's what Gemara Kedushin said. There's certain remazim that show that the person is not a refined lineage. This would be one of them. So the Gemara says maybe he ruined that himself by doing that. The Gemara continues, Ahu, Armada Vesalik, there was a non-Jewish who go up to Yerushalayim, v'alcha p'sachim Yerushalayim. He went to eat p'sachim Yerushalayim, v'amar, k'siv kol b'nei chalo yachabal. He used to brag. He says, any person who's a ben echar is not a Jew, is not allowed to eat the korban pesach, chalo yachabal, and also someone who's uncircumcised. And ana kachlina v'shufar shufar, I eat the best korban pesach, the best cuts of the meat, it's delicious, and he's not even Jewish, he's bragging to him. So he told this to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, the Gadol Dor, who's not in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to see. I'm related to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira. He's not in Yerushalayim at the time. So he said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira, tanto mi kasafu le ma'aliyah, did they ever give you the fat tail? He was trying to trick him over here. He's convincing him the best part of the meat was the fat tail. And by doing this, Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir was tricking him to ask for the fat tail, and then they would realize that something's wrong. Why is he asking for the fat tail? That's not a part that you're allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. So Gemara says, Amr Leh, so they responded, he responded to him, lo, I never ate from that part. So he came to Yerushalayim Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir said, when you go there, go ask for that piece of meat from the fat tail. So the Gemara says, Kiselak Leh, Amr Lehu, Me'alya Safali, he said, can I have them from the fat tail? We say, well, Amr Leh, Al Yala Gavosa, the fat tail goes up to the Mizbeach. Hashem gets that part. That's not the part that any Jews allowed to eat. They realized something was fishy over here. In Yerushalayim, they asked him, Amr Leh, Man Amr Lach Hanchi, who told you this to eat from the fat tail? Amr Leh, Yehuda Maaseir, the Gadol Dor told me that. So they knew something was really weird now. The Gadol Dor told them to tell them to ask him for that piece. So Amr Leh, Hai Ma'ad de Lakama, what is going on over here? Bat Kobesh, they investigated. It must be there. He's giving us a message that something's wrong with this guy. And they actually checked his Yuchav Ashur Armeo. He defended his Armeen, Ukatlu, and they killed him. So why did they kill him? That's a big shaila in the Achronim over here. Well, what exactly, what Isser did he violate? So I think the Minchas Chinuch says that he violated maybe this Araya for the Smag. The Smag says that Tosha V'Sachir Lo Yachabo is a pasuk that Azhar Pashas on Klal Yisrael, we're not allowed to give it to a non-Jew to eat. However, the Smag learns that there's an Isser on the non-Jew himself. And then the Minchas Chinuch adds, and we know that by all Lavin, by the Sheva Mitzvot in the Noach, there's a concept of Azhar Ha'as and Zoi Meisas, and that whenever they're warned about it, they're Chayav Misa for doing that Avera. So to over here, maybe we can assume Azhar Ha'as and Meisas, and then everybody Chayav Misa, that's why they killed him. Others say, no, he really was stealing. It was Gezel. Gezel Kachim. He was eating from the korban that was supposed to be brought to Hashem, or Klal Yisrael. We're the only ones included in that. Since he did Gezel by eating from something that was not his, it was either Hashem's or Klal Yisrael's. That is not okay. And a similar note, the Kovei, I think it was the Kovei Shurim. He says that he stole from the Chabura because it was a Mekach Tos. No one would ever put a non-Jew part of the Chabura because it ruins the whole status of the Chabura. And so therefore, that was a Mekach Tos, and therefore he stole from them, and therefore he was Chayav Misa. So either way, Shalchu Leh, Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir, they responded back to Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir, Shalach Rabbi Da'af Ben Etzivan, you're in Etzivan, Mutzach Rabbi Yehuda Yishlaim, yet your net literally is spreading in Yishlaim, meaning you saved us from them, and you did not. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda Maaseir go do the Korban Pesach? Tos was bothered by that. He says he didn't do Aliyah L'Regel. Why didn't he do Aliyah L'Regel? He said, maybe he didn't have any property, Ozak. So it says it's a big ukimta. All the Rishonim, all the Achronim ask about this Tosfos. Tosfos assume that anyone who doesn't have land or property or is old, that's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Who says that Aliyah L'Regel patters, if you don't have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, that you're patter from Korban Pesach as well? It seems to be two different dinim. So how do we know that Haba Hatalia? That's a big shaila in Achronim to answer that. The Achronim ask this kasha on Tosfos. Some reject the Tosfos based on that. Some say, where do they get this from? There's no idea in Shas like that. Either way, that's what they say over here. Okay, so we'll do some one more line, and then we'll pick up from Rav Kana Chalash. We'll pick up from there, Bezrim, tomorrow.